In 2005, American soldiers began to think about the war in ways that would have been unrecognizable 2 years earlier. The major army units deployed to Iraq in 2005 and 2006, the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, the 4th Infantry Division, the 101st Airborne, were full of veterans on their second tours who had been trained to take a new approach. During his first tour 2 years earlier, recalled Army Sergeant James Eiler, the mindset of the whole unit was, if they pose a threat at all, shoot to kill. Back then, we didn't trust any Iraqis, he added, as he manned a machine gun atop a Humvee and prepared to go out on a raid one humid night in Baghdad in February 2006. Eiler said he was forcing himself to be more patient with Iraqis. Now we understand that to get out of here, we're going to have to. Added Russell, the Humvee gunner, it's a lot less brute force and a lot more hearts and minds now. There was also a quiet and uncomfortable awareness that the U.S. military committed several major errors in 2003 through 4. The first time we were here, there was a lot of overreacting, said Staff Sergeant Jesse Sample. Now, with experience, we react a lot more calmly. Preparing for a convoy on a particularly bomb-infested stretch of highway south of the capital, Sample added, this tour is 180 degrees different from the last time. Now, he said, we don't roll out into the city intimidating anyone we see. The changes were particularly noticeable in the 4th ID, which had had such a checkered first tour. For its second tour, the division had its own cultural advisor, who wrote a kind of advice column on Islamic and Iraqi mores in the Ivy Leaf, the division newspaper. Even shooting had changed. The rules of engagement that governed the use of force had grown much tighter, and most soldiers interviewed said they thought the new restrictions were for the good. It's a little bit harder. You're kind of tied down, said one soldier. Even so, he said, we treat locals a lot better and have a lot better relations with them. In 2003, if two men were seen walking on a road in the middle of the night and carrying shovels, they would be assumed to be planting bombs and be shot, said Captain John Morris. But what was allowed during the first tour in Iraq isn't, he said. Now the order likely would be to detain and question the men if possible. Overall, the U.S. effort was characterized by a more careful, purposeful style that extended even to how Humvees were driven in the streets. For most of the occupation, the standard was to haul ass, noted Lieutenant Colonel John Gentile, commander of the 8th Squadron of the 10th Cavalry Regiment, which was based near a bomb-infested highway south of Baghdad. He now ordered his convoy drivers to travel at 15 miles per hour. I'm a firm believer in slow, deliberate movement, he said. You can observe better if there's IEDs on the road. It also was less disruptive to Iraqis and sends a message of calm control, he noted. Gentile and other U.S. commanders also spent their time differently. Where they once devoted much of their efforts to Iraqi politics and infrastructure, they had shifted their focus more to training and supporting the Iraqi police and army. I spent the last month talking to ISF commanders, noted Gentile. 2 years ago, I would have spent all my time talking to sheiks. Real progress was being made in training Iraqi forces, especially its army. U.S. commanders had been surprised to find that an Iraqi soldier, even one who was overweight and undertrained, was more effective standing on an Iraqi street corner than the most disciplined U.S. Army Ranger. They get intelligence we would never get, said General Abizade. They sense the environment in a way that we never could. An afternoon spent with one Iraqi army brigade in western Baghdad showed that while it occasionally was poor at keeping its American advisors informed, it was capable of competently carrying out basic military functions. When it set up an impromptu checkpoint on a busy thoroughfare in a neighborhood known for its hostility to U.S. forces, it maintained consistent security, with soldiers on the perimeter vigilantly facing outward, and it also was able to control civilian movements. Underscoring Abizade's point, the soldiers checking each automobile engaged in friendly conversation with drivers in a way that Americans simply could not.